Brothers and sisters, this morning's message was primarily more for me. It was a message for my spiritual growth. You know, when you, for some reason, I got into the rut of not feeling and not living to live. Just allowing my life just to go in a course, to just take its course. And just go through the passage of a common day of life and just wither away till there's no more pain and no more suffering upon earth. This message is also a message of love. And that is the reason why you're here today. Amen? You're either looking for love or you have love and you want to share it with one another. But if you're looking for love, this is the right place to be. At one time, I was searching for love. And I tried to look at it in many different ways, from different activities. Those don't know me, but my mom and I and our family had divorced. That's why I rarely talk about my mom. And mostly when I speak about my father. And I was at the age of 5. And so from that day on, I've always looked for love. And you can never find it in any place else except for within God. And I know you'll find it today. But in love, there is also warning. Before every great event, God always warns his people. Before the first advent, prior to the flood, 100-something years, he begins to warn and warn and warn his people. Before the flood actually happened. Also with John the Baptist warning his people before, prior to Christ's arrival. And again, we are people who is waiting for the second coming of Christ knows that there's going to be more warnings and more warnings to help prepare us, to help point us in the right direction. And I'm thankful for the Word of God, because without the Word of God, my faith would continue to dwindle. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen? Amen? So this day, I want you to assure that you're going to hear about God's love. But you may not hear it exactly the way you are used to hearing it. I want to arouse you also this morning. I want to inspire you. I want you to look deep into your life. To see if you are prepared for God, prepared for his coming. For we know we are in the day of an investigative judgment. And so God is looking over each and every one of us. But God is looking over us with love. Amen? And I want you to have that joy this morning. That our God is looking down at me, looking down at my life with love. That's why he sent his son. Amen? Before we get started, I would like to invite our helper, our Holy Spirit, to be here to help me to present this message and also to help you to accept this message. For we know the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know our hearts? It's constantly at enmity against the will of God. So we need the Holy Spirit. Amen? Kindly bow your heads. Heavenly Father, once again, it is your will why I'm here today, Lord. I thank you for giving me privilege to be in your house as you look down at us, wanting to encourage us. I ask, Lord, for your gift of tongues this morning, gift of speech, and the power to present it. And may your people be prepared for it. In these things I pray, in Christ Jesus' name, amen. This morning's message is called Capturing Life's Memories. of life's moments. You know, the video camera, we know what it's able to do. It's able to record and capture sounds, capture the images. It was invented. Who knows when it was invented? It's been a while, eh? 1956, April the 4th, 14, April 14, 1956. Who knows who invented them? Ray Dobley, Charles Ginsburg, and Charles Anderson. You know, when they invented this equipment, the first one cost, how much do you think it cost? The first video camera that ever was created. Because we know prior to that, it was just picture, kind of flipping it through, right? We all had that. $75,000 back in 1956, one each. Only professional studios like CBS were able to afford it. And they bought three that year. And it wasn't till 1980, as technology began to improve, where we began to have the privilege, the general public would have the privilege of owning one. I remember my father had owned one, and I remember at this video camera, it was big, it was kind of heavy, it was bulky, it was expensive. I think at the time it cost somewhere between $2,000 to $3,000 at the time. And you had a big pack that you had to carry around with the VHS recorded near it, yeah. You know, today we have these, as technology begin to improve, where Sony and the JVC companies got involved, we have what is called camcorders now, yeah? Really nice and small ones. It has even progressed even beyond that. And it can be for good, but it also can be dangerous. We also, just a simple little phone, right? Carries everything. You can take a picture of a movie and you can retain that whatever, you know. It can be a blessing or it can be dangerous. You know, I heard it was dangerous recently on the news. Some young kid, and I guess it was schoolmates, that went ahead and they took a picture of this individual's act, and it was in his room, and he was a homosexual, and it went ahead and they boosted that thing right through YouTube. And that individual went ahead and he couldn't take the guilt that was so bad, he ended up committing suicide. You know, I can reflect back and know that we as infinite creatures can design and develop such a instrument or device that can record every sound, every thought. You know, we can see your facial expressions, your image. I can go back probably about 19 years, and I can look at my VHS, and I looked at it, and it looked exactly to the day. Everything was recorded. My son was about two, almost 3 months old. He was sitting down in his grandpa's lap. His grandpa had him on the right side. He was filled with, you know, nice and plump. Two, 3 months old, you get nice and plump. When he came out, he was really scrawny like a lizard, you know. But then he was really filled in. He was wearing his baseball pajamas, and he was cuddled. He was content. He didn't do much but just sleep. My niece, Noyelle, she was only about 6 to 7 months, and she was on the right side of their grandpa, and they were just sitting on the sofa. And my mother-in-law with her, you know, those jerry curls, and they were nice and deep black at the time, and she had her t-shirt tucked in with her jean shorts, and still the same in control of the home and the event. you know. My sister-in-law Kelly was there. She was just, you know, relaxing and just sitting back and just not really. It was a joyful day, you know. It was Christmas Day, but she was there just sitting down and just quiet and just observing everything what was going on. She was in her red and black dance skins, and she was just sitting there. And it was a big event that was going on. My three-year-old son, just about to be, those of you who knows him, he's KL. He was very excited. You know, 3 years old, Christmas morning, he's happy. He just can't wait to go play with all his toys and take his father, who is his best toy, with him. He's going to go out there and run around and shoot whatever and throw balls here and do everything. So he was very jolly. But there was a other couple that was there, and it was interesting what we were talking about this morning, because it kind of fits in. Rocky, she pretty much looked the same, you know, how she was. But she always had a shake, so she was still doing a shake in there, you know, still doing that leg shake. But she was kind of excited, and she gave Brian his gifts, and Brian was opening up the gifts. And I don't know if Brian had a bad night's sleep, but, you know, Brian was looking at the gifts, and he didn't say much, and Rocky kept looking at him, and, "Do you understand what it's saying? Do you understand what it's saying?" And Brian looks at him, you know, Brian looked really good back then, you know. He was slick looking. He was kind of a handsome guy back then. You know, he had all his hair was all up there, and he was one handsome young man. And Rocky said, "Do you understand what he's saying?" And my mother said, "Don't you understand what's going on, Brian?" You know, and Brian said, "Yes, I understand. You're pregnant. You're going to have a baby." Okay, you know, Brian's like, no big deal. It's like, I can do that anytime, you know. Amazing that that's not how it went this morning. You know, some of them had a hard, difficult time. But as we, look back at this, how we're able to capture these memories, you know, God has captured these memories since the time you and I has been born. Like, we can go and back and look at our VHSs, and we can go back some 19, 20 years. And we can look at it to the detail, and we can see every emotion, every action we have done, every word that was spoken. It's all recorded. You know, the Bible teaches us, as you can turn with me there, to Daniel. We're going to take a look at the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 9. It's good to hear some of your pages are turning. That way I know you guys are still with me. Daniel, chapter 7, verse 9. This is a scene here. And it says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the wool, like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." Verse 10, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s times 10,000s stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were open." This scene is not the scene of the second coming of Christ. This scene actually happened back in 1844. When Christ had ascended, he went into the most holy place, and he was one with the Father. You can see that in verse 13, and you can see that this is not Jesus by seeing that in verse 13 it says, "I saw in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." And so this scene here, you can see that it clarifies between the Father and the Son. And there were the meeting that day. But what I want to talk about today is about where it says in verse 10, and the books were open. You know, where is these books that are open? In Great Controversy, page 480, the third paragraph states, "The books of record in heaven, in which the names and the deeds of men are registered to determine the decision of the judgment," says the prophet Daniel. So the judgment was set and the books were open. So these books that are open now since 1844, what God will be looking at, what will make the decision between entering the kingdom of heaven versus not entering the kingdom of heaven, will be the deeds, the works that you and I have done. In Revelation, you can turn with me there, Revelation 20, verse 12. These are the books that God will use in the judgment. And you can also find this in the Great Controversy, page 480, third chapter. It says, "The revelator, describing the same sea, adds, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the deed and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Again, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, God is looking at our works. God is looking at our deeds. And we know that this book is the book of life. Whose names will appear in the book of life? If you turn to Luke 10:20, the books of life contain the names of all who have ever entered the service of God. These are the people whose names will be in the book of life. The rest of the people, the wicked and those who do not want to come to God, those who do not want to serve God, those that who do not want to partake with God, their names will never enter the book of life. Only those who have confessed their sins, who have come in service for God, these are the names will enter into the book of life. Only these names. In Luke 10:20 says, Jesus bade his disciples to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Also in Philippians 4:3, Paul speaks of his faithful fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And Daniel, looking down to the time of trouble such as never was, declares that people, that God's people, shall be delivered. Amen? Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And the revelator says that those only shall enter the city of God whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that is found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. According to the Bible, it is quite clear that only those who have entered the service, their names will be recorded in the book of life. So if you have entered the service this morning, your name is in the book of life. Amen? And you should be rejoicing because that's where your names are. Are there other records? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 states, "A book of remembrance is written before God, in which are records that good deeds of them that feared the Lord and taught upon his names." So those who go out and is sharing the gospel, those go out who is doing God's faithful duties, faithful works, these have a special book where your names will be recorded in. It will be recorded in the book of remembrance. Incredible, huh? It goes on to say, their words of faith, their acts of love, are registered in heaven. Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 14, he states, remember me, O my God, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God. In the book of remembrance, in the book of God's remembrance, every deed of righteousness is immortalized. There every temptation resisted, every evil overcome, every word of tender pity expressed is faithfully chronicled, and every act of sacrifice, every suffering and sorrow endured for Christ's sake is recorded, says the psalmist. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? This is what Daniel was writing about, right? David was writing about, and this was found in Psalms 56:6. As he was pleading to God, you know, if somebody like David can get into the books, isn't there hope for you and I? All right? There's hope for you and I. But there's also another record that God has the book of life. You have the book of remembrance of all your good deeds, all your faithful work that you have done. But he also has another book. And this book records all your sins. It says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, says the Savior. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, Matthew 12, verses 36, 37. The secret purposes and motives appear in the unerring register. For God will bring into light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, it is written before me, your iniquities and your iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord. And this is found in Isaiah chapter 65, verses 6 and 7. So far, we have God's book of life, that all those who have come to service today, who are so faithful, willing to serve God in their duties, your names are in there, and you should rejoice. But there's also the book of remembrance, where God will record, just like I had mentioned earlier, about how I was able to capture some 19 years ago of every act, every sound that was made by that Christmas event. God also, and every deed and everything we have done is found in that book of remembrance. But also, God has a book also of all our errors, of all our words that we have ever spoken that was contrary to Him. How we may have hurt one another's feelings. What is the purpose of keeping records? Page 482 in A Great Controversy. Every man's work passes in review before God and is registered for faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Opposite each name in the books of heaven is entered with terrible exactness. Every wrong word, every selfish act, every unfulfilled duty, and every secret sin, and every artful dissembling. Heaven sent warnings or reproofs neglected. Wasted moments, unimproved opportunities, the influence exerted for good or for evil, with his far-reaching results, all are chronicled by the recording angel. Beloved, you and I know where we're at in time right now. By studying, we know the God's plan for redeeming his people, the plan of redemption through the sanctuary. So we know where God is at right now. We know where Jesus is at right now. You can't fool God. No one can fool God. What will happen if you refuse to confess your sins? What will happen? It says in page 486, it says, sins that have not been repented of and forsaken will not be pardoned and blotted out of the books of record, but will stand to witness against the sinner in the day of God. He may have committed his evil deeds in the light of the day or in the darkness of night, but they were open and manifested before him with whom we have to do. Angels of God witnessed each sin and registered it in an unerring records. Sins may be concealed, denied, covered up from father, mother, wife, or children, and associates. No one but the guilty actors may cherish the least suspicion of the wrong. But it is laid bare before the intelligence of heaven. The darkness of the darkest night, the secrecy of all deceptive arts, is not sufficient to veil one thought from the knowledge of the eternal. God has an exact record of every unjust account and every unfair dealing. He is not deceived by appearance or piety. He makes no mistake in his estimation of character. Men may be deceived by those who are corrupt in heart, but God pierces all disguises and reads the inner life. How solemn is the thought, day after day, passing into eternity, bears its burden of records for the books of heaven. Words once spoken, deeds once done, can never be recalled. Angels have registered both the good and the evil. The mightiest conqueror upon the earth cannot call back the record of even a single day. Our acts of words, even our most secret motives, all have their weight in the deciding of our destiny for weal or woe. Though they may be forgotten by us, they will bear their testimony to justify or condemn. This is a very solemn message, a very message of love, because God is warning. He brings warning to you and I to evaluate our life very closely. After doing this study, I personally have seen where I needed to progress so much more, needed to get so much closer to God. And I'm sure it will do for you as well. You know, as we can see clearly, long before the invention of the video cameras, God has our life, you know, captured by our recording angel. In Proverbs 28:13, turn with me there so we can see that from the Bible. Proverbs 28:13. And it reads, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. If those who hide and excuse their faults could see how Satan exalts over them, how he taught Christ and his holy angels with their course, they would make haste to confess their sins and to put them away. Through defects of character, Satan works to gain control of the whole mind, and he knows that if these defects are cherished, he will succeed. Therefore, he is constantly working to deceive the followers of Christ with his fatal sophistry, that it is impossible for them to overcome. Again, this is found in the Great Controversy, page 489. You know, I can go back 2 years, even 3 years before that, and I can remember, this was my wedding day, and I can remember the scene clearly. I can remember that a close friend of mine, he was singing this song, and I like to share it with you. I probably won't do as good as he has done, but you can see that even if we can pick up these details in our lives, so can God. It says, "He is now to be among you at the calling of your hearts. Rest assured, this troubadour is acting on his part. The union of your spirits here has caused him to remain. For whenever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love. There is love. Oh, a man should leave his mother and a woman leave her home. They will travel one to where the two will be as one. As it was in the beginning, is now until the end. Woman draws her life from man and gives it back again. And there is love." This is a very powerful wedding song. This song was sent there. It was sung by one of my close friends. It's very powerful as you see the lyrics of these words. It's basically going over the Bible itself. I had a lot more hair on my head. I was a lot heavier. I was in white, you know. I even could see the scene of the validation of making sure that Adonis signs that marriage vows agreement, you know. It was also recorded there. A lot of my relatives that is here was there, and they were a lot more in condition as well, you know. God has kept all of that as we as keeping all these records. You know, I sang that song not to embarrass myself this morning. I hope you guys to realize that. I know my wife is saying, "Oh, shame." But that is recorded as well, too. But I want you to know that God loves each and every one of you. And this presentation here reveals the details of your life and my life is clear. Can you imagine if I had a camcorder, or you and I have a camcorder, and all day long that it's just visualizing you? It's just watching over you, whatever act, whatever things that you're doing, whatever words that you're saying. And at the end of the day, you run back the tape. And then day by day, you go back and you watch a tape over you, look at you over and over and over again. Yeah. It will be pretty frightening. Very frightening for me. I'll be so embarrassed, I'd probably commit suicide too if somebody put that on YouTube. That's how bad it will be. But you know, beloved, I want you to know that God didn't send his son for you and I to be lost. God did not send his son. You see, at this particular time, you and I are in the best situation that we can be. Because the book that is recorded of sins can be blotted out. Because that's what's happening right now. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter 4:17 that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? See, we have the privilege at this particular time, because God is looking through the books from Adam and Eve all the way, all that was dead in Christ. And when will God come? When God has already looked at the living, those who have come into the service. And so God could have looked at my books already. He could have looked at your books already. It could have been all done already. And maybe just a few more guys. And then as it says in the book of Daniel, that Michael is about to stand up. When Michael stands up, you and I can do no more for the right or no more for the wrong. But God himself, he loves us so much, and he wants to wipe away all those records of sin. He wants to blot it all out. When is the blotting happening? It's right now, today. Since 1844, the blotting out of the sins was going on. I have a few more verses before I conclude today. You know, the only way that you and I is going to make it to heaven is because of Jesus' pleads with his hands, his wounded hands, his bruised body. He declares to all who follow him, all who would follow him, that his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He also says to take my yoke in Matthew 11 and 29, 30. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let none then regard their defects as incurable. For God will give faith and grace to overcome. Amen. Also, in my last verse, in the book of Hebrews 7:25. Why don't you turn with me there? In the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. It says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. They're seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For we know according to the plan of salvation, to the sanctuary message, Christ is in there interceding in behalf of the human race, that those have come to him. But there are two aspects here in this verse that will qualify you for salvation. The first is you must come to God. You must come to God first. Unless you come to God, unless you come and ask for forgiveness, that's the only way you will not make it into the kingdom of heaven, is if you do not come and ask God for forgiveness and forsake your sins. But if you should confess your sins and ask him for forgiveness, he will forgive you. And it's also by Jesus Christ. It says, unto God by him. It's not enough that we just go to the Father. It's not enough that we just go to him and ask for forgiveness. We must accept the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Amen? At this time, you can open your hymnals. All for a Closer Walk on page 315.